Welcome back. You're listening to Strategies for Success, the radio show dedicated to your success in business and in life. I'm Bonnie Dubrow. Today my guests are Reverend Sue Bailey, Dr. Lynn Lawrence, and Speed Ream. We are talking about what it's like to have a major life change trigger a turbulent, tough transition. During the first segment, we were talking about the event that triggered the transition. What we discovered is that the endings of the life as we knew it, the routine that we knew, that those life-changing events could be anything from death of a loved one to choosing to end a relationship to the loss of a career and a community. And Speed's example was giving up solid food for 40 days. So it doesn't seem to matter what the event is. What the events all have in common is it's as if we get thrown into a turbulent sea. The life that we knew, we're out of control of it. There isn't that lifeline to hold on to on a daily basis. And we're now in the void, full of some interesting emotions. Why don't each of you go around and describe for the audience and for each other to see what that void was like for you and what that experience might have in common among us?
Well, my void was confusion. What was panic, anxiety, and confusion, and it lasted a while because the events kept happening over and over and over again.
Mine was definitely confusion. I don't think I had a lot of fear, and I don't think I had a lot of panic. I had a tremendous amount of confusion. And I remained in some way, actually, in many ways, I remained peaceful because I did have a principle to hang on to. But I could not recover my life. The confusion for me was really what was the most difficult part.
Interesting. Because I wouldn't have said confusion, yet while I'm listening to you both, I think I was really confused. So my confusion was my goals seemed to be just dropping away, and I didn't have anything to put them back with. And I'm just now, it's what, April 11th or something? So January, February, March, 4 months later, my goals are just finally starting to settle in. I mean, besides my living goals, and, you know, I like my work and what I do, but I mean real goals, something that's real, that's exciting, that gives life meaning.
Okay, so you're jumping ahead to after the void.
Correct. So and the void was a confusion for me.
Great. What Speed did was identify for us and nicely put the three stages that we're using for this model that just kind of popped up of the endings, then the void, and then new beginnings. Right now we're talking about the void. The word confusion has come up. And certainly I was confused and fearful. I'd like to explore the word confusion because in my head, it seems to be a mental state. It's, I believe this, I'm experiencing this. It's a conflict of beliefs, which are the thoughts. Do you think that there's something to that? And if so, what are the emotions that go with the state of confusion?
I believe that it begins as a mental state, but I think it's a whole body experience. I absolutely believe that it's a disorientation.
Great
word.
It's
just you're disoriented in your skin, in the world, in your mind, and you know, nothing, when nothing is the same, and that's the perfect description. The word void is you are thrown into a place of starting over and having all of your beliefs, you know, shaken up. You have to let them go. I went to India for 21 days and sat in the silence during this time, and that started to get me back on track. But even there, I realized that I was just, I couldn't look at who I was and remember for sure who exactly that was.
The word floundering is coming to my mind. Is that okay?
Yes, the floundering's great, although I want to piggyback on Sue because disorientation was huge for me. I didn't know where I was going to move to. I had to leave my home because I lost it. So I was totally disoriented in what am I going to do for a profession? What am I, because I had put so many years into my late husband's and my profession, letting go of my own. So I was disoriented in all ways, and my body was really feeling it as well. I mean, I really literally didn't eat for about 3 months. I lost lots and lots of weight, and I didn't sleep. And so I felt it in my body was like little tinglies all over my body constantly, which I interpret as anxiety. But yes, the disorientation was huge, and that was disconcerting.
Right.
Nothing to grab onto, like a lifeline.
Right. So yeah. that coming up, for you weren't, the turbulency is a good analogy, and trying to come up for air, looking for the lifelines, is part of that state of the void, confusion, which is a whole body experience. Speed, does their description, you said yes, you experienced the void. Did you have similar experiences? Because the life change of giving up food, one would think that, so what? You know, why is that such a big, yes, it's a big deal in its physical impact. You did lose a lot of weight, you had a lot of free time, yet you're describing a similar experience in the ending that you went into a void. Is the void like what they're describing?
I think the word floundering was great. So I'm going to just jump on that again. Just for some background, the reason for 40 days is from yoga, 21 days to break a habit, 21 days to make a new one. That's 42 days. But it doesn't really take 21 days for either side. So 40 days is to both break your old habits and establish new ones. Dalai Lama says 21 days that you do anything, boom, becomes a habit, period.
Except for those of us with ADD, we take a little longer.
I felt confusion, but I knew what to do. And so, but here's the funny thing. What I did is I spent hours meditating, hours. And meditation is comfortable to me. I know it's very, but guess what happened during the fast? Every time I meditated, what I was holding on to left. In other words, meditation became a floundering experience. I would come out of meditation and look at myself and not even know who was looking, like you said. Exactly the same thing. But it wasn't scary, but it was confusion. It was very confusing.
Thank you. Now, I see both of you shaking your heads, which the audience can't see, so would you turn the shaking heads of agreement into some language?
Well, it's that idea that you continue to use the practices that you knew.
And I would like to challenge you for a second, Sue.
Go ahead.
You're talking with the word you, and I'd like you to own it.
Yeah, I continue to use the things that I knew, the things that I practiced all the time, the things that I teach people, the meditating and the journaling and soul searching and reading inspired things and writing affirmation. I mean, all the things that we teach people to do to sort of keep centered and keep track on their life and keep their minds focused. And I continued to use all those things, and yet I could not seem in those things alone to get this state of confusion to end. And I believe that it's possible that this state of confusion could have sunk me for a lifetime into a very, very deep place that a lot of people don't ever fully recover or return from. But these practices, even though at that particular moment I would have said they were useless to me, I do believe that they were the thing that kept me from really sinking to some unrecognizable place. Although at the time, I expected them to lift me up and to just send me on my way again, and they didn't do that for me.
Okay, I'm going to ask Lynn to share and then share with you guys what I believe is happening at that point and see if that fits. So, Lynn,
It was a time factor for me. Mine was a little bit different because it lasted a long time with all these people dying over a 10-month period and moving several times and all that. So during that time, there was way too many things to have to deal with to remember to do my practices. I did not remember to do them, although I'd been doing them for like 30 years. Once I got back to doing them, they did work. They worked.
Instantly?
No, of course not. It takes time, but they did start giving me an anchor where I didn't feel so lost in a turbulent sea without a rudder. So the rudder came back. It just took a while to get on course with the rudder.
Great. I believe that what happens is an energetic change. When we feel like we've got a handle on our lives, when we're on course, and all four of us have been very fortunate that what we were doing was fulfilling, that we felt on track with our purpose, our mission, all of a sudden we were lost at sea either on a ship without a rudder and sails, or we got tossed out of the ship and we're coming up for air. That metaphor seems to be working, that all of a sudden, if we're an energy, if we're a fuel tank, as a metaphor, we had been running on full, that the practices that we were doing and our lifestyles, even though took some energy every day, we've refueled. And so we stayed pretty much with 3/4 of a tank to a full tank. You agree with that?
I definitely agree with that, yes.
And Speed, you're shaking your head, too.
I'm nodding my head.
Nodding your head.
This is shaking.
Oh, is it? Thank you so much. Confuse us all. Then we had this radical change, and it's as if somebody uncorked the bottom. It's almost like the oil pan, where you unscrew the valve and all the oil falls out. Speed, is that true of a gas tank, too? Or you'd have to puncture it.
There's some gas tanks have a screw valve. Yeah.
Or it's like it's punctured with something big and all the fuel falls out. So when we do the practices at the beginning of the phase of the void, we're barely getting it to hold in the tank. As you said, Lynn, dealing with the events that we have to take care of on the outside level, as well as the emotional upheaval, the fear, the anxiety, the concern, the confusion, and what was the other word? The disorientation, and you liked
floundering.
That all of that is still taking energy faster than we can put it in the fuel tank. Slowly, by sticking to the practices, it's as if the practices start to clog the hole. And eventually, over time, the fuel tank is gaining so that more and more it goes to no longer on. What is it called when the red light goes on?
Got me. On reserve? I
mean, yeah, good. That we're no longer running on reserve. We go to a quarter full and then half full. And even when we use energy by doing the practices, until we get back up and then go look at what do we do now? So does that model kind of correlate with what you experienced?
Yes, it does. It's a good metaphor, and that's exactly what happened. It took time to fill the tank.
I think one of the things that I learned personally most profoundly from this is that I think everyone, you have to just go through the experience. It's incredibly important that you hang on to what you believe and continue to do it, whether it feels like it's working for you or not. Because the experience...
Whether it appears to be...
Appears to be right, whether it appears to be working or not. That you just have to live through the experience. And there is the value of the outcome is that you did live through the experience, is that you did, you know, soul search deeper, that you did sink to different levels in your life and take a look at things. I mean, that is some real value, and at the time it doesn't feel very valuable. But when it's all said and done and you've come out on the other side of it, there is so much growth and so much that you've learned and so much that you've discovered about yourself. If we could just do a practice and have all of our pain and struggle and confusion and floundering taken away overnight, we wouldn't gain, I wouldn't have gained just the volumes of what I know about myself.
I think that'll be the next section, because I so am in alignment with the blessings that have come out of it, even though at the time I didn't know that.
What a perfect segue. That's exactly what I see happening. We, in this middle section, covered the void, what it's like intellectually, emotionally, energetically. Sue, you segued right into after the void, which is the new beginnings. When we get back from break, we'll be exploring new beginnings and also how we can use these transitions as vehicles for personal and spiritual transformation. This is Bonnie Dubrow. I'm your host for Strategies for Success. My guests, Reverend Sue Bailey, Dr. Lynn Lawrence, and Speed Ream. We're talking about using major life changes that trigger tough transitions for our personal and spiritual transformation. We'll be right back.
And so it was a tremendous positive event. I'm still recovering from the positiveness. So I don't know how much more time I have to talk about it, but I did feel the void. So
how about if we come back to talking about the void, because it is a word that all of us have in common. Would each of you say who you are, and if someone wants to reach you, how they would? Just real briefly, website, email, phone, whatever you're most comfortable with.
I'm Reverend Sue Bailey, and you can access my website at www.newchurchtoday.com. And or email at thenewchurch@bellsouth.net.
Great.
This is Dr. Lynn Lawrence, and you can reach me at lynn@success-coach.com or at 512-417-6323.
And this is Speed. You can reach me at 321-508-0124. Or SREAM@post.com.
This is Bonnie Dubrow, your host for Strategies for Success. You can reach me at Bonnie@radioforwomen.us. That's radio, the number 4, WOMEN.us. Toll free, 800-511-9302. If you have any questions for any of us, please feel free to email me or call me, and I am sure that you will hear not only from these people for the rest of the show, but you will hear from them again soon. We'll be right back. Beth is going to tell us how to use these very, very magical bracelets, which both of us, in fact, are wearing as we talk. You're listening to Bonnie Dubrow. I am the host of the host for Strategies for Success on www.radioforwomen.us. That's radio, the number 4, women.us. And we'll be right back.